So, Father, I want to thank you that sometimes the way that you minister to our hearts is not necessarily through format. And God, I'm grateful that we had a time of worship, a time of prayer. I'm really grateful for Elena's testimony of how you really shifted her and her heart, and you touched other lives through her, yes. And God, I pray that you continue to bless the folks and her team that did that. And God, as we take a quick look to just read through a psalm, I pray that we would go out at least with our hearts full of the Word of God and something that maybe we can refer to or take back. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't think it's like all that funny that like God will sometimes just shift the plan, and that's what he did this morning. So when I got up this morning, this was truthfully 2 days ago, I kind of knew that what I had prepared for this morning, I wasn't going to preach. I didn't know it was because Elena was going to take all my time, but no, I'm really playing. But coming in this morning, I knew that we were going to spend some time praying, and I knew that we were going to do something that was a little bit more focused, a little more abbreviated. And I was kind of just thinking through, like, I've talked to a number of people in this last window that they would say, man, life has been really challenging. Like, things have been hard. It's relational. It's financial. It's all sorts of stuff. And I just thought, man, there are a lot of people getting hit all at once. And sometimes that brings questions. You guys ever question when things are challenging? Like, God, what the heck? Like, why is this so hard? And I was just processing all of that. And I thought, man, you know, we need to remember where the sources of challenges come from. You know, it's the enemy in John 10:10 that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and life abundantly. And in Peter, it says, you know, be sober and be alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so I want to just say to you, like, understand the points of connection when you're battling through the season that you're in, because some of the challenges you're facing are not necessarily let me say it this way. God is in the middle of everything. But that doesn't mean he ordains everything. Amen. Yes. Sometimes it's the devil attacking, but God will use everything to refine you, to grow you, to sanctify you. I don't have time to do that. So let me actually stay true to my word and read you a psalm. So as I was just doing different research, Psalm 30 is a psalm of David, and it's a dedication of the house of God. So why come to church kind of idea? That's some of what David is going to talk about. And he says this in verse 1. He says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this, like, is there another place in your life that you have the kind of celebration around worship or Jesus as you do in church? Probably not, right? Like, you probably don't wake up in the morning, everybody goes, yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Maybe that happens. Maybe you're weird. I'm kidding. But there's something about the community of faith that actually gives you permission to act outside of that. So as David says, I'll extol your Lord. I'll lift you up because you lifted me up. That's actually literally what it means. And he says, and you've not let my enemies rejoice over me. Listen, if you're in a battle, God is not going to let the enemies celebrate over you that he won. That's super important, because you can lose your heart in the time of trouble, can't you? Like, God, where are you? Why is this so hard? And verse 2, he goes on, he says, O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Now, I don't know, like, sometimes I think of stuff and I'm like, when I cry out to God, is healed the word that I would have used? You heard me. You met my need. But in David's case, there was a fracture between what he thought God was doing and what he was experiencing, and God came and mended him inwardly. I think that's really powerful, because some of your lives, my life, when you get hit, what you actually need is God to connect the dots inside your heart. You get what I'm saying? And that's what David said, man, you came and you healed me. Verse 3, O Lord, you've brought my soul from Sheol. Now notice he said, you brought my soul. You brought the way that I think, the way that I feel, the things that motivate me to act. You brought that up out of, listen, desolation. That's literally what Sheol means. So you ever felt hopeless? Come on, help me, church. Anybody in the room ever felt hopeless? You say stuff like this. This is never going to change. It's always been this way. It'll never get better. I guess I'll just have to put up with this. That's actually not a biblical picture of how we should behave and think. He says, listen, you brought me up out of desolation. You brought me up out of darkness. In other words, you made a way where there was no way. He says, you kept me alive and that I would not go down to the pit. Now watch, he says this, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, you godly ones. So you gather together in church and we sing songs. Jeez, Pastor, why do you sing songs for so long? Listen, I love y'all. I've had people tell me I come to church on time. On time for me is 10:30 because then the music's over. I'm kidding. But no one in this room said that, right?
Yeah.
You're busted, dude. I can't believe you said yes. That's awesome. Sing praises to the Lord, you as godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. See, when you worship, that's actually what you're doing. You're declaring who he is, what he is to you, and you're expressing thanksgiving. It's actually, worship is much more powerful, I think, than we often give it credit for. And then in verse 5, he says, for his anger is but a moment. Isn't it good that God's only angry for it? Like you got to get the context here. David's saying, I know I mess up. Anybody else in the room know that they mess up? Uh-huh. Can we all lift our, we all blow it from time. He says, man, I know that I mess up, but his anger is only a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Listen, do you know that even the anger of God is technically his favor? Yeah. You know, the worst thing that could ever happen is God never to tell you, you shouldn't do that. That's the worst thing that could, because you just keep going into destruction. So even when God is upset with us, it's favor. And he says, weeping may last for the night, but shouts of joy come in the morning. Okay, so watch, I want to do something with you because you'd never do this anywhere else. Okay, so what does a shout of joy sound like?
Woo-hoo!
Okay, that was like half of you. Come on, let's do it all together, church. What does a shout of joy sound like? Woo! I was driving to church this morning and I was listening to a song that sang that verse and I'm like, I'm going to shout in the car. I think anybody around me probably thought I was the biggest moron. I'm in the car going, woohoo! They must have thought I was watching baseball. But I was just like, but listen. When I did it, it shifted my feeling inside. Sometimes what you do outwardly shifts you inwardly. So some of worship is not, like I love it when people say to me, oh, I don't like worship. Well, listen, I wasn't worshiping you. I wasn't. We're worshiping him. And the expression of worship changes you from the inside out. That's why it's so important. It's a lowering down, a raising up. It's a shouting of joy because shouts of joy shift the way you feel inside. He says, as for me, verse 6, I said in my prosperity, I'll never be moved. You ever had life really good and you said, I'm going to serve you no matter what, Jesus? Ooh, this is awesome. You're so good. Watch what he says now. He says, I'll never be moved. He said, oh, Lord, by your favor, you made my mountain to stand strong. And then you hid your face from me, and I was dismayed. See, what he's saying is this. I understand that prosperity is not the goal. Presence is. That's what David was saying. I need to know that I'm face to face with you, God, because when that happens, I know that I'm comfortable. When it doesn't, then there's a sense of hopelessness, dismay, lostness, if you will. He says, to you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. To you, O Lord, I called, God, help. And this is what his cry for help was. I did this with you in worship. What is it that you need God to meet? See, because the word supplication means this. I'm going to go to the supplier and ask him to give it to me. So people go, man, I made supplication to the Lord. Nobody says that word. But when I say it this way, I ask God to meet my need. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's actually exactly what he's saying to do. You should ask God to meet your needs. He said, what profit is there in my blood? Or if I go down to the pit, in other words, God, if I die, no one's going to praise you. Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? And he says, hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. Pastor Russ said it just a second ago. Lord, have mercy on me. That is a great prayer. You should do this. Lord, have mercy on me. God, give grace to my family, to my friends, to my enemies even. That's how we should be praying. Because there's something about the shifting of our hearts and giving the God, the one who's a just judge, the right to do what he needs to do. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. Incidentally, that's the word for Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be the one who comes alongside and supports and comforts me. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Man, you ever had loss and God shifts it around? Is that a glorious day? Yeah. Yes. I like, seriously, you guys are going to think I'm so weird. I was listening. There's an old song by Ron Canale that he turned my morning. I said it to Santa. She goes, I know that song. Well, maybe we'll do it in a week or two or something. But his anger lasts for a moment in time, but his favor is here and will be with me for all my lifetime. When I sang it in the car, and it's a super upbeat song. This is not a sad song. I'm in the car like, yeah, it is more. And I'm like choked up in my voice. I'm like, what a sap I am, man. Like, hold, it's not even a sad song. But you know what it was? Is when you have God meet with you, it connects in your inner person and you're grateful. That's what this is saying, man. Man, you be gracious to me. You're my helper, God. You turned my mourning to dancing. You loosed my sackcloth, which is camel's skin turned inside out so that it's irritating. Ugh. And you girded me with gladness instead. So you took off the constriction, the thing that irritated me, and you made me comfortable. It's powerful. That's the exchange that God does. And then he says this, that my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions will sing praise to you and would not be silent. Oh, my God, I'll give thanks to you forever. See, what I was going to bring to you, and I got like 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll just share the concept. One of the ways that the enemy will come after us is he'll get us to be downcast in our inner person, your soul, the way that you think. The way that you feel, that sense of hopelessness, this will never change. This is my lot in life. I've done too many stupid things, and I'm just reaping the consequences of it. Man, I'm sure glad that God doesn't only let me reap negative consequences. Hello? I'm so glad that even when I feel like there's desperate inside, that God can take that around and he can make my soul rejoice toward him. See, and I just wanted to encourage you before we exit today, and I say a prayer and send you all out, that there are times where you have to do what David did, where he said to his own soul, why are you so downcast, O my soul, within me? And then he preaches to himself, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my God and the Savior of my life. See, there's times you just have to tell your soul to shut up. You just really do. Because it'll overrule everything you think and feel. It'll make mountains out of molehills. It'll make people evil, things evil, people against you, when in fact they aren't. Make things way worse than they are. So listen, I want to pray for you that your soul would be refreshed today. And then I'm going to send you out. I thought it was great to have Elena share. I thought worship was wonderful. I hope just at least reading a psalm, giving you a little bit of encouragement, lets you leave today going, man, if God is for you, there is nothing that can be against you. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Right. So, Father, we want to say how grateful we are for the community of faith. And I say it all the time, like, man, I don't know how people do like spiritual life without church, without a spiritual family, without people to share highs and lows. People to like, just like Elena was saying, like, there were people praying for me, and they weren't even anywhere around or knew anything that was going on. And she felt those prayers. God, that's the beauty of having a church, a spiritual family, a spiritual community around you. God, I pray that you would make us very aware of your goodness to us today. I pray, God, that those who have heavy things, that we would actually take the things that are heavy, and we would put them at the foot of the cross, and we would leave them to your wisdom, God, because you're very capable to shift things that are hard. And God, for the rest of it, we pray that we would celebrate in faith. We would celebrate with hope. That we would understand that God is the one who changes and transforms, and God, that you are always present. You're always at work in every one of our lives. So God, let us go today encouraged that I'll bless the Lord at all times, that his praise will actually continually be on my mouth. God, would we magnify you with our words, magnify you with our hearts, and magnify you with our lifestyle. Let us be a blessing to you, God, as much as you are a blessing to us. So we give ourselves to you, say, let us have a blessed day, and let us go with the favor of God upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I love you guys. God bless you. Be encouraged. Go buy fireworks so we can bless more people around the world. No, actually, in all seriousness, a big portion of Elena's trip was paid for by the fireworks booth. Same with Bella. Same thing. We decided to help them go. And that's a big deal. So you think, oh, I'm just buying a firework. No, you're not. You're sending somebody to go love on little kids in the middle of the Philippines, in the middle of Papua New Guinea. And I think that that's a powerful thing. Amen? Amen. Hey, I love you guys. Be blessed.